Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Kelly Newcomb, and today I'm going to continue our dive into Bible-based entertainment for kids. And this is going to be the second part in our series. Last week, I talked about streaming services. I pray that you enjoyed that and found it beneficial. Today, I'm going to be diving into Bible-based entertainment apps for kids. Now, before we jump into that content, I do want to remind everyone that the revised and updated version of Managing Media Creating Character is now available on Amazon. This is a book that I originally wrote and published in 2017. And so now, 2024, 7 years later, I've updated almost every chapter and tweaked some of it of some technology that has completely changed. And so it, I think, is a great revision. I'm excited for it to be out. It's a great gift for any family members or friends for Christmas. Also makes a great baby shower gift. And the small group study guide for the book is complete. It's in post-production phase. So pray that we can get that released before the end of the year and make sure that you are signed up for our bullet points newsletter so that you can be informed as soon as that study guide is released. All right, so now let's look at Bible-based apps for kids. Now, I first started this research on the App Store and just began testing some of the most popular apps that had the highest ratings that were basically suggested to me first on the App Store. And then I turned to our trusty friend Google to see what it recommended. And so when you Google Bible-based apps for kids, interestingly, the second link that appeared was a review from Ministry Spark. Now, they are it's sort of a website put forward by David C. Cook, which is a publisher. And so I generally trusted this resource that they had provided. And so they reviewed a lot of the apps, and they ranked the apps based on three criteria. Does it improve biblical literacy? Number two, does it build a love for God in the Bible? And then three, does it appeal to kids? So I thought this was great criteria, but honestly, that wasn't the exact precise criteria that I had used. I got into these apps and I looked for the addictiveness of it, or like kind of like the stickiness of the app. Like, did it keep you coming back? I looked at its pace and its music, you know, kind of was it like ADHD inducing? I also looked to see if they had like backdoor access to the internet or community chat groups. And of course, you know, does it actually have an overall reverence to God and his word? Is it actually teaching something biblically? Now, several of the apps that I had reviewed were covered by Ministry Spark's review as well. So I'm going to give you their score and what they had said about that as well. In some areas we agree, some areas we disagree. I will link Ministry Spark's guide in the show notes so you can check that out as well. All right, so we're going to jump into these apps. The first one is Bible App for Kids. Now, when you search on Google, Bible App for Kids is always the first option. If you search in the App Store, Bible App for Kids is the first option. This is the kids app offered by YouVersion. So it's like YouVersion's Bible app for kids. So when we talked about using the app and using the Bible app in church, we were talking about YouVersion, and this is that the kids version. It's rated as ages 4+. It has a 4.7 app rating with over 8,000 reviews. Now, what the app does is it has 41 of the most popular Bible stories in video form that allow children to watch and interact in order to learn from them. In general, the stories come across as fairly shallow, and the emphasis really does seem to be on the interactionable, like that you're interacting with that, tapping on the screen, and not so much God's word. So it's more like, what can you do as a game in it than what can you learn? Just for the record, although this app tends to rank the highest in amount of downloads and in Google searches, Ministry Spark scored it a 27.5 out of 100. So it's a really, really low score. I think it was like maybe the second lowest scoring app of all the ones that they reviewed. They ranked its ability to build love for God in the Bible as 20 out of 100. And again, I think that's because it is made to be more of a game than it is actual teaching Bible stories. They just kind of make it really shallow. All right, so that's the Bible app for kids. The next one is God for Kids. Now, this app aims to help kids understand the meaning behind Bible verses. It claims to be 100% focused on the character and nature of God. And I would say this app does endeavor that task, but with a very strong sense of gamification. You collect diamonds as you play, you know, which are all free. You're not paying money, but the kids can then use those to like buy like bedtime stories. You can change the music that's played, or you can watch kids worship song and dance, different things that you can buy with these diamonds as you collect them. Now, the app is not available in U.S. English, only British English. So there's that. And the music that does play, I can see why they offer you diamonds to change the music, because it's totally annoying. As the user, I thought it was annoying. But even my husband across the table was like, what on earth are you listening to? And, you know, what kind of game is that? But you need the sound to be playing in order to hear the lessons and answer the questions. So I don't know, maybe I'm saying that because I'm old and I'm generally not a fan of games. So you can hold my opinion about annoying music, you know, pretty loosely. But I will say that Ministry Spark ranked God for Kids at the very, very lowest, the very lowest score at 16.25 out of 100. But it is highly ranked up there as in downloads and in when you Google it. So it is very much promoted, but does not promote a love for God in the Bible nearly as much as we would like. Another option is Sun School. Now, this is known as the Sunday School app. This app has over 600 Bible lessons, plus unique animated stories ideal for those who, quote, can't get to Sunday school so they can learn from home. Now, at first I read that and I was a little taken off guard, but then I noticed that the app offers, it comes in numerous different languages. So I believe this is very much a global or international type of app. So I can likely assume that this doesn't necessarily mean American parents who just don't want to take their kids to church, but rather kids who don't have access to Sunday school or kids-based teaching within their international reach. Now, the app is, I would say, slow-moving, but yet not boring. So it's not too ADD-driven. And from what I could tell in the time that I interacted with it, they did a good job of presenting the truth of Scripture in an engaging and appropriate way for the child to understand. The activities are tailored to the player's age, which you can enter when you start to play. You know, I was tempted to type in 46 just to see how the content changed, but not. I said that I was six instead. I honestly thought that it had a similar feel to the God for Kids app because you're just collecting diamonds in this one as well. So I don't know. I guess diamonds is like the universal variable reward for these Bible-based apps for kids. This app was not ranked by Ministry Spark, but overall, I did think that it was giving you a good sense of God's word, and I liked that it was a little bit more slow-moving and not so many flashy type of pages and colors and lights and all that sort of stuff coming on there. Another option of apps is Guardians of Ancora. Now, this is a very polished app, very good graphics, a well-created game that allows players inside the world of first century Galilee. And so you're like an observer and a participant to the life and miracles of Jesus. So they say that it's, you know, adventurous. It aims to allow the children to be curious and have sort of wonder, you know, about the life and time of Jesus. So I think it's a very, very unique and interesting aspect to take as far as a game goes. Many reviewers of the app reflected that it is more game than learning Scripture or developing a love for God's word, but it takes it from such an interesting angle that it is generally ranked pretty high. Ministry Spark scored it as a 46 out of 100, which is, you know, higher. They didn't give very many. There wasn't a lot of apps that scored high. But they did give it a 50 out of 100 for building biblical literacy. So they're, you know, it is doing something. But again, just a unique perspective. Another option that's kind of similar is The Greatest Journey. Now, this is actually an app that is produced by Samaritan's Purse. You might know Samaritan's Purse as the organization that goes into disaster zones and tragedies and war zones and all this and helps people. They also do Operation Christmas Child. This is a great organization. Well, they have created this Bible-based app game for kids. It's called The Greatest Journey. Their website boasts this is a fun, exciting way for kids to explore the Bible and learn how to follow Jesus. You're aboard a time-traveling spaceship that players captain the ship, and then The Greatest Journey gives kids a bird's-eye view of the Old and New Testament, introducing them to major events in the Bible and focusing on the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. This game is based on Samaritan's Purse International Discipleship course that they have, and so it takes you through 12 sections of the Bible from the perspective of an outsider from the future. And then they add a little bit of humor and some interactive fun along the way. Like you can, you know, find games and you scan new planets, you're shooting meteors and things like that's very space related. Overall, I think that it's pretty good. Slow moving, which is good. Not necessarily ADHD driven. The music wasn't totally obnoxious. They do a good job of introducing you to how the game is working and how your what your goal is and why you're doing this. So definitely it would take some time to get through the whole game. So you are looking at more time on the screen with this, but overall a good option. The next one is the Superbook Bible. And this is produced by CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network. This app is massive. It has so much to do. I mean, honestly, if a child wanted to, they could spend hours upon hours engaging with its content. There are video episodes. There are games. There are Bible character profiles. There are daily quests, which I'm just going to tell you exactly what a daily quest is. It is a streak. It is a streak. They are promoting you to come back to the app daily and generate a streak. Ah, sigh. They also have Bible Q&A. And then they actually have the entire Bible, the actual Bible, replete with icons and that lead you to either a profile or a video or game or a trivia question, you know, after that subsection of scripture. So it's not, you know, after every chapter, it just may be whenever maybe a certain section of scripture is finished. And then it leads you to, so if you're in Genesis, you know, it might go through, you know, all of Genesis 1 and then give you some questions. But then when you get to Genesis 3, there might be talk about the fall of man. There might be multiple different interactive things that guide you, trivia questions, a profile of Adam, a profile of Satan, all of those type of things. The app, this is what it does. And this is the concerning part. It allows you in this Bible portion to take pictures so you can give it access to your camera, and then you attach them to scripture verses. So their example is if you were to take a picture of a beautiful sunset, you can then attach that to Genesis 1:2 when God says, let there be light. And so you're taking what God's creation and you're, you know, attaching this picture. Okay. Those pictures can also be sent to friends via text, email, or even posted to social media. Super concerning within a kid's app. You know, there's a warning box that comes up and it asks for parental permission. It's like, hey, do you have parents' permission to do this? And then they give you a circle, square, and triangle. And it says, hold your finger down on the circle to override. So of course I did that and it just immediately overrode the fact that, you know, I have parents' permission. So I don't know if they're supposed, I suppose that they're trying to deter maybe the kids who can't read by providing a square, triangle, and a circle and telling you to override it with the circle. I don't know. These aspects were very, very concerning to me in this app. One review said, this is a great way for children and preteens, especially to read the Bible and have fun at the same time. Now, interestingly enough, this is the app that I downloaded and spent the most time researching. And like I said, I found some very serious concerns. But this is the app that Ministry Spark ranked as the very best. They gave it a 98.5 out of 100. So interestingly enough, I had already done my research and developed my concerns before I read their review. And I thought, oh man, this is really, you know, contradictory. And so I read his whole post in Ministry Spark, and he refers to his daughter being 5 years old and kind of being, he and her were the test subjects of all of these apps. And I realized if you're a parent of a five-year-old and your oldest child is a five-year-old, you likely look at media a whole lot differently than, say, me, who's raised seven teenagers during the greatest social experiment of all time of introducing them online to social media. And so I know all of those risks. So my guess as a parent who only has a five-year-old may not realize, if you've not interacted with teenagers and phones, all those kind of things that can be really dangerous. And my thought is he just probably didn't even think about this being a concern of his five-year-old taking pictures and then sending them out. But to me, I'm like, yikes, because we all know that predators go where the kids are. That's why Roblox is ranked as, you know, a predator haven, a hellscape, I think is what the most recent article had called it, because that's where they go where the kids are. So if this super Bible, Superbook Bible app is ranked the best and kids can go there and, you know, send out stuff, I don't know, that just really raises some alarm bells, because chances are if a parent gives a device to a child that still has access to the camera on that, they might also have access to other things such as the internet or some other type of app. And if a predator can get into a kid's world and convince them to take pictures of themselves, I mean, there's horror stories out there. Anyway, so those are my concerns. So his review of giving it a 98.5, it didn't really change my opinion. I do say that there is good interactive content, developing a love for God and biblical literacy, because they give you the actual Bible, you know. So yeah, it's easy to give you a love for God's word when they're teaching you through actual scripture. And so there is that. But again, and I've stated this on previous podcasts, I'm never going to promote for even an adult, but especially a child, to read scripture on a device. And you again can go back and listen to our episode on the Bible app and church services for a longer explanation. But what we do when we hand kids iPads or old iPhones that they end up treating, you know, like mini tablets, and then we load them up with entertainment, is that we teach children that this phone or this tablet is an entertainment device. We are not teaching them that it is a tool, right? We're actually training them that it is a toy. It is for entertainment. And so to cross that over and say, no, this is where God's word is, I think that can be really a struggle for kids when they are so bent on entertainment. The idea that you can read God's word and have fun at the same time, I wrestle with that. I think that was one of the reviews that they had said. I wrestle with that. I find joy and delight in God's word, but I don't necessarily know if fun is the right word. And I fear that teaching kids to have fun in that regard and not sort of developing a reverence or awe for God in his word, that's dangerous. So I'm more in favor of, you know, there being Christian or Bible-based entertainment that's watched or engaged together with, you know, on a family television. You know, we talked about the streaming services last week, together as a family. But the Superbook Bible, you know, it promotes a very kind of an individual experience. And while it is promoting God's word and a love for God, I absolutely believe that this has to be co-viewed and co-played. You're not going to get the same type of biblical literacy, biblical understanding, right? Other than consuming, it's a consuming type of app. I don't necessarily think that you're going to be able to then that the child's going to be able to take that and live it out unless there is a parent equally engaged with that app and with that content at the same time. And then again, the sharing of pictures, yeah, concern. So just off the top, my overall concern, those are the apps that I have. So my overall concern, obviously, with that, is the only one that I have found that really had a backdoor access to do that sort of thing. Okay, so those are the Bible apps that I reviewed. So now, what is Brave Parenting's overall recommendation? Well, just off the top, I'm going to say if you have a, for example, a long car ride coming up as you go visit family for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and it can be very beneficial to keep your child a little bit entertained. If you have an 8-hour drive, that is miserable without a little bit of entertainment. So I think that apps like Guardians of Ancora or The Greatest Journey are probably my top pick. They may not be as biblical in the sense of growing biblical literacy, but they are slower moving. They have a greater production quality, and there is more a sense of adventure than other apps, which is just a little bit more like gamified, nonsensical kind of engagement. And like I mentioned earlier, these apps of Guardians of Ancora and Greatest Journey are going to be something that's going to take a little bit longer than like 15 to 30 minutes to kind of get into and really enjoy. So if you were to give the child a little bit more time on that because you're in the car, you're on a drive or whatever, I think that that is okay. As far as everyday use or apps that a child can play with, I'll be honest, I'm very hesitant to suggest any of these to be used individually and privately. I think they can be good when they are co-viewed and co-played, but I believe that the everyday use of gamified Bible lessons can, again, just diminish the reverence and awe that we are to have in learning about God and His Word. Now, before I go on and kind of get into some of the biblical thinking about this Bible-based entertainment, I do want to say that there was another app I didn't have time to review, but Ministry Spark gave it a pretty high score, and it's only available on iOS. So you have to be an Apple user. And it's called David versus Goliath, A Righteous Tale. They wrote in its review, this is an amazing app that all new Bible app for kids should be measured by. It's beautiful, humorous, professionally made, very fun, engaging, and biblically sound. They gave it a score of 96 over 100. So, you know, with every one of these apps, I cannot stress how important it is to engage with the app content yourself first before you give it over to your child. So David versus Goliath, A Righteous Tale, also maybe a good app for you to check out. If you do, I would love to hear your thoughts on it. And so with that said, let's shift kind of from the pragmatics of the apps and consider biblically based or content and Christian entertainment in the light, again, of God's word. I believe that one of the most helpful ways of looking at all Christian entertainment really is kind of what Elizabeth Urbanowitz walked through. She did a podcast in 2023 titled From Entertainment to Biblical Teaching. Now, you may remember Elizabeth. She's from Foundation Worldview. We've had her on the show several times before, and we love the curriculum at Foundation Worldview. We actually have partnered with them. You get a discount code if you use promo code BRAVE. You get 10% off of the purchase of one of the curriculum. Really, really great stuff. So anyway, going back. So Elizabeth did this podcast From Entertainment to Biblical Teaching. And she talks about children's ministries, about how they are more about entertainment, entertaining the children, rather than teaching them. And so I think a lot of times we think that if we can entertain them, you can teach them at the same time, then it's just a win-win. But ultimately, like she describes, it's akin to like slipping vegetables into the spaghetti sauce. So Elizabeth reminds us that what Christ's opinion was about people who only seek him to be entertained. So let's look at the scripture. In John 6, Jesus fed the masses through miraculous means. You know, it's the loaves and the fishes. It occurs in all four of the gospels. We see this account of this miracle. And truly, it is a miracle. It's of astronomical scale. But some people were there only for the entertainment that Jesus could provide. And this is what Jesus said to them. He said in John 6, 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." So then Elizabeth goes on to ask this poignant question about children's ministry. Are we helping them to see who Jesus is and that he's God and that they feel the weight of their sin and their need for redemption? Or are we trying to entertain them just to make them feel full and happy so that they want to come back? Because that is exactly what Jesus condemns in this passage. And I think those are so important questions. If we think that we as Christian parents, if we really searched our hearts, we would find that even though we know our overarching parenting objective is not to have happy kids, we still succumb to that secular notion that our children deserve to be happy, that they need to be happy all the time. If we don't want them to be, you know, in therapy as adults, you know, because we didn't even allow them to watch biblical entertainment or play Bible-based apps, you know, if we don't want them to be in therapy, like, we've just got to keep them happy. And that is just an absolute lie of Satan. So we have to ask ourselves, are we trying to entertain them to make them happy? Because we do know that happiness is a fleeting feeling. It is fleeting. It is not the same as joy, which is long-lasting satisfaction. So are we trying to make them happy to make them come back to play a Bible game instead of Minecraft? Or trying to keep them happy so that they watch VeggieTales instead of Frozen? But our goal can never be to make them happy. We will fail time and time again because we are honestly powerless to keep them happy. We can only temporarily make them happy. And the more than that, happiness is going to fail our kids too, because life is not about happiness. It's an added bonus, right? But our lives are meant to glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? If you don't know that, that's the first question and answer to the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that is our overarching parenting objective. That is what should dictate our parenting choices, especially surrounding everything media and technology. You know, can our children watch Minnow or PureFlix on occasion and still glorify God? Absolutely. But will it glorify God if they watch several hours of streaming Yippee before jumping over to Superbook on their tablet and spending a couple of hours of there too while never discussing what they watched or played or learned? I don't think so. I don't think that that's glorifying to God. I think this is exactly what Jesus condemns of seeking him for entertainment. When a child engages in Christian entertainment this way, you know, because the parent gave them access and approval, let's just make sure we make that point. When a child engages in Christian entertainment, they aren't seeking to know Christ. They're seeking to be fed and they're seeking to be entertained because that's what we have taught them that is the ultimate in our culture. So hopefully you're seeing, like, we don't want to convey that message to our kids. And, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about, you know, how to discern what to eat and what to wear and, you know, what to do. And these are the big questions of the day. And in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. But at the same time, Paul is very clear that we cannot just do anything and call it good and glorifying, because he says not everything is beneficial and not everything is constructive. And this is the precise filter I believe that we as Christian parents need to view our choices of entertainment. There is no point in paying for Minnow or Yippee or any other subscription if you are not going to talk about what is being taught and learned in these streaming programs or what on an app. There's no point in paying for a monthly fee if you're not going to erect time boundaries for how much time the entertainment content is going to be viewed or played. You honestly might as well save your money and let your little ones play whatever app that you know is neutral, or watch whatever kind of Bluey or Peppa Pig or whatever you can find for free if you're not going to do the discipleship aspect, because then it's not beneficial or constructive. And I say this because I think everyone tends to think, but just isn't Christian content better than the other stuff that's out there? Like, and when I hear that, I hear, you know, I'm going to give my kids access to media regardless, and maybe more than to even recommend it. So shouldn't at least I make an effort to make it Christian and teach them about Jesus? And again, this is the complete wrong question to ask. It's a wrong question to ask, but isn't Christian content better than the secular content? We should be asking, what will glorify God? Not what is the least harmful of all my unhealthy options. Because when it comes to teaching our children to know and love God and His Word, it's not a task that can be abdicated to entertainment and media. It can be an adjunct when it's used and engaged with in combination with life-on-life discipleship, when you're playing that game together. But entertainment alone cannot do the work that the Lord has prepared in advance for us to do. God's word should stir in us reverence and awe. And I don't want, and I don't think that our kids should grow up expecting that God's word comes along with gamified interactions, diamond rewards, and streaks. Man, I just mourn even just saying that. Like that's what it's come down to, that we've desecrated God's word so much to make it palatable or tolerable for our children. You know, and I mentioned this last week, and I don't know. I mean, I've been reading a lot of church history, and I just don't think there's ever been a time in the church where God's word has been so diluted, you know, down to this both an expectation of what kids are capable of and an experience of how kids are engaging and learning the sacred texts of Scripture. I know that the game of today, you know, sort of is this adaptation. How do we adapt to the new age of the internet and intelligence? And I imagine there are significant concerns and pushbacks, you know, against the training of children when the printing press, you know, fundamentally changed human communication. And there's probably people who had very, very big concerns. And here we are, and I would say I'm one of those people who have some very big concerns with using entertainment as discipleship. But just because we're still going to move on doesn't mean these concerns aren't real, and that we as the church, as believers, need to take them seriously. So my point is essentially, you know, Romans 12:2, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do we have to adapt to the societal structure in some ways with technology? Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the modern world is forcing everyone to use QR codes and to, you know, pay by credit card online or some sort of online payment system instead of cash. More and more places are not even taking cash. And so there are things in our society, in our culture, that are unavoidable when it comes to adaptation or conforming to technology and society. But raising our children to know and love God and His word does not require conforming to the patterns of modern media-driven Bible as play type of discipleship. We need to be very discerning in this area. It's easy to say, but it's Bible-based. It's okay. No, I want you to think, does this glorify God, or does this teach my child that God can also be a game? So I'm going to leave you on that note. I hope this episode was helpful to discern the use of Bible-based apps for kids. And again, make sure if you haven't listened, check out last week's episode on streaming services for Christian families. If you have an app that you have tried, maybe you love it, or maybe it was super concerning, I would love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@braveparenting.net and let us know what you've been engaging with or what you have concerns about, or maybe some that we can research for you and give some biblical perspective on. Thank you, friends, so much for listening. Until next week, go and be brave.